After she'd hung the ink painting on the wall and admired it for a while, she came back to the table. She sat with her hands around her steaming teacup, peering into it as though she expected to find the words she was looking for. I was surprised to see the tendons in her hands beginning to show themselves from age. At last, with a trace of sadness, she said, "How curious it is what the future brings us. You must take care, Sayuri, never to expect too much." I'm quite sure she was right. I'd have had an easier time over the following years if I hadn't gone on believing that Nobu would one day forgive me. In the end, I had to give up questioning Mameha whether he'd asked about me. It pained me terribly to see her sigh and give me a long, sad look, as if to say she was sorry I hadn't known better than to hope for such a thing. In the spring of the year after I became his mistress, the chairman purchased a luxurious house in the northeast of Kyoto and named it Aishin An, Prosperous Truth Retreat. It was intended for guests of the company, but in fact the chairman made more use of it than anyone. This was where he and I met to spend the evenings together 3 or 4 nights a week, sometimes even more. On his busiest days he arrived so late he wanted only to soak in a hot bath while I talked with him, and then afterward fall asleep. But most evenings he arrived around sunset, or soon after, and ate his dinner while we chatted and watched the servants light the lanterns in the garden. Usually, when he first came, the chairman talked for a time about his workday. He might tell me about troubles with a new product or about a traffic accident involving a truckload of parts or some such thing. Of course, I was happy to sit and listen, but I understood perfectly well that the chairman wasn't telling these things to me because he wanted me to know them. He was clearing them from his mind, just like draining water from a bucket. So I listened closely, not to his words, but to the tone of his voice. Because in the same way that sound rises as a bucket is emptied, I could hear the chairman's voice softening as he spoke. When the moment was right, I changed the subject, and soon we were talking about nothing so serious as business, but about everything else instead, such as what had happened to him that morning on the way to work, or something about the film we may have watched a few nights earlier, there at the Aishin An, or perhaps I told him a funny story I might have heard from Mameha, who on some evenings came to join us there. In any case, this simple process of first draining the chairman's mind and then relaxing him with playful conversation had the same effect water has on a towel that has dried stiffly in the sun. When he first arrived and I washed his hands with a hot cloth, his fingers felt rigid, like heavy twigs. After we had talked for a time, they bent as gracefully as if he were sleeping.